Can't concentrate. Kept my mind focused on the truth. And so what the truth does is give me a great opportunity to focus. So when you're studying something, you're just focusing. You're letting yourself focus. So I want to focus on love. You know, I've read a lot. I've studied a lot. Done a lot of workshops. Talked to a lot of people who are in the truth path. You probably have too. And I don't know about you, but I'm at that place on my spiritual path where I want to hook up with some people who want to actually apply it, and they're tired of, like, just entertaining themselves with concepts all the time. Anybody else?
Yeah.
So I found out, much to my surprise, when I stopped judging so much, that the easiest way to find out where somebody's coming from is just to ask them. I used to assume I knew, so I was always interpreting everybody's motivations around me. Never bothered to ask them what they think. So I'm asking, is anybody else in here that want to do the same thing with me? You don't mind saying this what you want to? Would you raise your hand? Okay, so when I get scared, I'm going to look at you. Actually, it was more people that raised their hand. So the people that didn't, would you raise your hand? It'd be easier to remember you all. Because I used to focus on where there was a lack,
yes,
and not focus on where I was surrounded by abundance.
Yes.
And then I thought it was all about me trying to fill up the hole instead of looking where there wasn't one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. So I want to love and I want to be loved. I want people in my life that I can trust, who are honest, consistent, open-minded, generous, faithful. You know, so I decided that the only way to have it was to be that myself. So I decided to, that's what I do all the time. I try to allow myself to be what I want to have. I used to do it the other way around, which was try to turn you into it. That's a hard one, man. Yeah. I pick out somebody, then I try to turn them into what I wanted them to be. It's been a lot easier just be the kind of person I want, and just watch them show up and just blow my mind. It's been happening so much. Like every week, I meet more and more people that blow my mind. You know, I just got through with a blow my mind weekend. I had a blow my mind weekend before that, and a blow my mind weekend before that. The other one was just a blow. So I'm going to start off on page 216 in the text. And it's okay if you don't have the book, never heard of it or anything like that. I'm here for those people too. I want to try to give to the best of my ability the benefit of 28 years of studying the Course in Miracles and teaching it. That's why you came. Okay. All right, good. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. Some of it you may find hard to believe. You might go, that's hard to believe. You might go, this is startling. I'm not asking you to come here to judge the course or to judge me. I do a good enough job for everybody in here. Okay? So I don't need no more judges. What I need is some friends. You know what I'm saying? That's what I don't need no more. If you're here to judge me, then please, would you pardon my sentence? Well, I didn't do nothing to you. I know I do nothing to nobody in here because I'm dodging the other person. Okay, now. I just hang out in truth and love, and I know I'll never run into them. That, you know, the fearful, crazy kind of mind that hate and judge, they're in another world.
Yeah.
So if I can stay in the loving one, I don't have to deal with them, and then they can come to the realization that they are also loved, and then we can join. Because I'm always ready to join with somebody when they're being sane. So if we ever have a falling out, we go through our little illusion together, and you think you don't like me, or I think I don't like you, and then we separate, then whenever you're ready to come back in peace and love and harmony, I welcome you back with open arms. But in the meantime, I think it's a blessing that you chose to separate. I think that's a loving thing to do. If you're not going to treat me right, please don't stay with me. So when people leave me because they don't like me, I think they're doing a very loving thing, and I'm grateful, and I thank God. I go, thank God they're gone. it just almost brings me to tears. You know, somebody would love me so much that if they didn't really like me and appreciate me, they would just put me out of their life. And then, to make sure they wouldn't bother me no more, they would fall in love with somebody else. That's so nice. So there are a lot of nice people keeping other people away from me right now. And I think that's great. I think that's great, you know? Because we learned our lesson together. And now it looks like we've separated. But our relationships are destined to become real and holy and loving. So it's only a matter of time before we rejoin at some higher level of consciousness. But in the meantime, the universe is so loving that it separated us from each other while we went through our healing process, so that the next time we came together, hopefully we'd be saner than we were before. I used to try to stick around with those people. I would try to keep them. I'd beg them to stay. I'd even give them gifts not to leave me in their hate.
I'm going to tell you what I did.
Well, that's why I saw you up in the post office the other day. Mr. Kane, I saw you. I was over there on Birch. I saw you in there, you know. They got you up on the wall. They say, if you are afraid of love, avoid this woman at all costs. If you don't want to be around somebody, you're afraid of cool people, stay away from Judas. Or the big stay away from Judas I posted. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want anybody to be attracted to you except somebody who would appreciate you like I do. All right, the clear blue sky. You know, Judas just called me up one day and said, hey, guess what? I'm going to buy you a whole set of tires. I'm like, right, you know, and I came from the South and we had a whole lot of snow and stuff, you know what I'm saying? And so I was thinking about that. Wow, that's really cool. That's wonderful. Then she came, picked me up, you know, and took me out of here, boom. And then took me out to a buffet dinner. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I certainly wouldn't want anybody in your life except somebody who's going to love you and appreciate you and treat you right. And there's so many people in this room that I can cite, just like Judy, that do very loving things. Not to mention Bonnie over here. You know, Bonnie, just through her generosity, practically for years, has given me enough to pay my rent every month. Mm-hmm. Just by herself. Mm-hmm. Maybe more. Out of her love for me. Out of her appreciation for me. Out of her knowing that I need food, clothes, and shelter like everybody else does at the level of the body. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't count just giving and sharing. That's just like one little. That's not that much of what she actually has done for me in terms of love and friendship and commitment. Never tagged me. We've known each other for 15 years. Never had a cross word. She was at the very first workshop that I did when I came here to do my first one in 1993. Wow. And ever since then, Bonnie's been able to do this thing that's really cool too. Like, she can come here and she can let the Spirit come through me and use me in the role of a teacher, because she knows something greater than me that's coming through me. And then we can hang. And she's still really, really cool, and I can just be myself. Usually I can't do that with people. Usually if they come to the class, and they get to know me, then they stop coming to the class. I'm just telling you things that have happened. Okay, I'm not saying anything that's negative. I'm just telling you my experience. Because I don't see that in a negative way. It's just sometimes it's hard to believe that you can learn from your friends. Mm-hmm. And so the minute somebody becomes your friend, you kind of think that they can't be used by spirit sometimes. That's not what everybody does, but that happens sometimes. You know. And so I love it when she can be my teacher as well, and at the same time we can be total equals and hang out. Because to me, to be anything other than equal with everybody in here would be to my disadvantage, because I wouldn't be with you if I'm walking behind you or in front of you. I'm walking by myself. Yeah. So I don't want to leave nobody. I said, what are you trying to take over? Take over what? Why would I want to rule anybody in this room? or manipulate you, or try to get something out of you. I'm in a world where people give themselves freely. In my personal life, I don't have to try to get nobody to love me. And they walking up to me all suspicious. What, he's a man. I know he has to just want it. We know he wants. He's a man. These spiritual things just might be a smoother line.
two kinds of, basically number two kinds of sex organs in the whole world among humans, shared by millions and millions. I think I can find one if I wanted one. And certainly yours wouldn't be the right one if you didn't want to give it to me, because that make up guilt, fear, and that just creates negative energy, which creates negative circumstances. So why would I want to hook up with anybody that didn't want to hook up with me on any freaking level? But I used to. That used to almost be the condition of my desire. But they had to not want me. The one who didn't want me. I didn't have to say the word to her. If they call the police on you, they're not your soulmate. I know it's amazing that I have to tell myself stuff like this. So, let me show you. This is one paragraph, and I talk about everything. Look, if you all are my friends, then I'm going to talk to you like I talk to my friends. With me, I'm just going to be myself. So, let go of any idea of what the teacher's supposed to sound like, act like. Then we can have some fun together. Cool. Because the only reason why a person's life would not be enjoyable to them is that it's the way they're making it up. So if you put your perception on me, when you're not happy, you're just going to reproduce the same thing you've always been producing that you're trying to get away from right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The most loving thing we could possibly do is lose our minds.
Yeah.
And after the last 3 weekends, you did.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what's going on. So you see this body, so you think it's the same person. You know what I'm saying? And because I can access Earl Purdy's memories and then talk to you, you think it's Earl Purdy. It ain't Earl Purdy.
Give me a little smile if you're not at me. I appreciate it.
Right. It's really good advice to tell you not to judge what you don't understand. Okay? If you're in a situation and you don't understand it, don't judge it. If you're in a situation and you don't understand it, don't judge it. Because no one with a personal investment is a reliable witness. So if you have a personal investment in the situation that you're dealing with right now, you don't have a reliable witness. And anybody you go to for advice that has a personal investment is also not a reliable witness. I'll say it again. Anybody with a personal investment is not a reliable witness. Anyone with a personal investment is not a reliable witness. If you want to get the honesty and the truth about something, don't ask somebody with a personal investment. You don't ask your husband's opinion about your boyfriend. God bless. Last night I met this woman. Ooh, we hooked it up. What you talking about? We went back. We got down. And so, dear, I'm trying to decide. Should I do it again? You think I ought to get with her? I don't think my wife could have an objective response in terms of how regular people. Now, real wife could, but you know, the way we've learned, no. Okay. So you don't ask somebody with a personal investment. You don't ask your boss their opinion about you quitting. You see what I'm saying? And people have a tendency to do that all the time. They go to the people for advice who have a personal investment in the outcome, and when you do that, they are not reliable. What they tell you is not reliable. Okay, then it says, because the truth to that person has become what that person wants it to be, so I'm going to tell you whatever I want to be the truth, because I have a personal investment. Then it says, if you're unwilling to perceive an appeal for help as an appeal for help, it's because you're unwilling to give help, which means you're unwilling to receive help. So if you fail to recognize a call for help, then you're refusing help, which you maintain you don't need it. Which you maintain you don't need help. Well, you are maintaining you don't need help when you don't see my call for help, because it's only by answering my call for help that you can be helped. So if you deny me your help, then you won't recognize God's answer to you. Now, God does not need your help in interpreting motivation, but you do need God. Okay, so that's something to say to me, that every time I don't see what you do as a call for help, whenever you're doing something unloving or fearful, then I'm refusing to allow myself to be helped, because I can only be helped as I recognize calls for help, because the law of the universe is giving and receiving is the same. So whatever I want, I have to give. Whatever I want, I have to give. Whatever I want, I have to give. Whatever I want, I have to give, because giving is asking. When you give, you are asking. So when you say you're going to ask for something, you're really saying, I'm getting ready to give this. So if you're not giving it, you're not truly asking for it, and that's why sometimes a person will think that what they've been asking for hasn't happened yet, because they are just waiting for it to show up without them getting it. Okay, so I want your love, Abba, but I'm not going to give you none. When you show me how much you love me, then I'll give you my love. Soon as you... All right, anything that's real you can have right now. Anything that's an illusion, you have to wait till later. See, that was real because we could do it then. Anything else is something you're making up in your mind, about the future or the past. But see, the love, one more time. The love. Let's do an example. All right. So if I deny you my help, then I am refusing to recognize God's answer. In other words, the Course says Spirit is always answering us, but we don't recognize the answer. The reason why we don't recognize the answer that comes to us from our higher power is because we've already made up our own answer, and then we're trying to get the universe to say that's right. So we're not really open to the answer. We just made up our own answer, and then we're waiting for God to say that's right. So now we're getting an answer, but sometimes it's hard to hear it because it wasn't the answer I made up. So it basically said to me, first of all, if I don't understand something, I need to stop judging it. And I shouldn't ask anybody with a personal investment, because anybody with a personal investment is not a reliable witness, because the truth is going to be whatever they want the truth to be. Now, if I don't want to look at it like you all are calling for help, it's because I really don't want to help you. And so if I want the universe to answer my calls for help, then I have to be willing to see your calls for help. Now, the Course in Miracles is saying to us that people tend not to get excited by that particular answer because they don't want to help. I really don't want to do nothing. So this answer is not thrilling me. I don't want to help you. I can barely help myself. I'm trying to help myself. What you mean? Help you all. Course says, we're at the stage of seeing it as a call for help. I'm going to repeat that. We're at the stage of seeing it. The Course in the Miracles is a Course in the Miracles. It's about how to see things differently. The book is about how to perceive things differently. The Course in Miracles is not about behavior. It is not about telling you what to do. And that's why the ego gets freaked out, because it wants me to say, what should you do? And the Course says, no, you were not created to do. You were created to create. You were created to extend. You were created to love. You weren't created to see nor do. But right now we have to see what we do. Right?
Yeah.
Right? So when you come to this class, you're coming to a class about how to see different. So let go of the whole do thing when you're here. Because once you see things correctly, you will know what to do. The doing will come through you in spite of yourself when you see it correctly. You with me on that?
Yeah.
We're talking about what? Seeing. Okay, then that's the same the Course says as interpreting. Interpreting correctly. You're seeing correctly. Alright, so if I come in here and I'm upset and I'm sad and I'm depressed, if you were to see that correctly, you would say, Earl has an appeal for help. Earl is calling for love. That's interpreting my anger correctly. That's interpreting my depression correctly. That's interpreting my joy correctly. That's interpreting my passion correctly. It's all a call for help. Every single solitary thing I do is a call for help. It's a call for love. It's a call for God. It's a call for help. You only see me making calls for help. That's all I do is make calls for help. If I'm smiling, it's a call for help. If I'm sneezing, it's a call for help. If I'm dancing, it's a call for help. Everything I do is a call. When I'm mad at you, it's a call for help. When I like you, it's a call for help. Whatever I do is a call for God, a call for love, a call for help, a call for God, a call for love, a call for help. No matter what I do, if I rob a bank, it's a call for help. It's a call for love. No matter what I do, that's what it is. That's how you see things differently. Notice that seeing, that's interpreting. You can take what I'm doing as something that you want to attack me back for. That's an interpretation. Or you could see it as if whatever I'm doing is a call for love. It's a call for help. And let me tell you something. There are two different worlds that go with each one of those perceptions. There's a whole world that goes with the perception of he is calling for love. You know what kind of world it is? It's a world where when you are depressed, angry, lost your temper, afraid, experiencing lack, experiencing loneliness, you'll be in a world where people will go, that's a call for love. That's a call for help. That's a call for my affection. See, that's the world I want to live in. It's the one where people go, man, that's a call for love. That's, oh, he wants some love. That's the world. There are two worlds. There are two worlds. And you're choosing which one you're going to live in every day according to which voice you use for an advisor. And you never make a decision without your advisor. And your advisor is the part of your mind that's telling you what to do. And there are two parts of your mind that's telling you what to do. The part of your mind that loves you and thinks you deserve the best life has to offer. And the other one that thinks you'll need your ass kicked. It has one job, that you lean over that chair. Wham! Oh, I have mercy on my God. Wow! My relationship. Wow! I'm not living right. So people are whooping their own butts all day. All day long. Right? So Moses died yesterday. I knew it was something up when Charlton Heston died. My favorite Bible movie was Samson and Delilah, Victor Mature. What a great name. Only those movie stars back in the 40s would have been named Victor Mature, Cary Grant, Rock. Isn't that something? Doris Day. You know what I mean? '50s was a trip. Okay.
Marilyn Monroe.
Ah, Marilyn. I can hardly go over Wingrape without thinking of her. Okay. It's only by answering somebody else. Now, I will say it again, so you won't get frustrated, Laurel. Okay? This is only talking about seeing it as a call for help. Seeing it. Didn't say do. Did not say do. Did not say do. This is a seeing it class. This is about seeing it. The Course says, it'll be a miracle if somebody was upsetting you that you see it this way. That's why it's called A Course in Miracles. It's not called A Course in Miracles because we don't see the Red Sea part. It says a miracle if we see the thing correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was hilarious. It's A Course in Miracles because it's a miracle if you see something correctly. I said, wow, that's deep. That's what a miracle is. A miracle is us seeing each other correctly. Every time we're together, we give ourselves an opportunity to give what we want to receive in a room full of people who want the same thing we do, that basically we're saved with because we don't really know them.
Right.
And they don't know us. So there's no stories going around, pretty much. So we get a chance to really practice with each other for an hour every time we come together. So I try to give you all as much energy and love as I possibly can, because I know that's what I'm asking for. So you give me an opportunity to give myself what I want to receive every time we're together, and I would invite you to use me the same way. Yeah. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to have enthusiasm. It's okay for people to actually be together and be feeling each other. But when you're afraid of love and you haven't really known love, then it's frightening. It makes you feel uneasy. because you know when you're in the presence of love that your barriers are dropping, they're melting, the facade is, because you're the same way, you're just hiding it, you're just afraid, you know, but you're the same way, you're just full of love, and I'm going to crack you open. You all are just a bunch of good old big nuts. I'm a nut too. This is the kind of crack that's good for you. I'm going to snort you. Boy, this is the best class I've ever snorted. Y'all really get me high. You really get me high.
Yeah.
You really get me high.
You get me high.
You get me high. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Most of the people in here tried drugs. Some probably have high right now. And you innocent. You are totally innocent. There's no judgment in here. I'm going to leave that to the part of the world that wants to be miserable. But you come in here, I'm not judging what you do, how you do. You're not here to live up to my moral standards, whatever they may be. You ain't created for my fantasies. You do what you want to do. Then I be surrounded by people who go, you just do what you want to do. I've been noticing that's what happens. I gave some freedom, I received some freedom. I gave some love, I received some. But it came back more than that. Much more than I gave. And there's more people wanting to do it. All I have to do is say yes and stay halfway sane myself. Okay, but even if I do act crazy, it's my call for love. But if I want people to see that so they won't leave me when I don't want them to, then I have to see what they're doing as a call for love. Because the book said all I had to do was see it. It didn't say I had to actually give them a lift home. That was the only trouble I had, was actually doing something. That's the problem I had with the advice. So if you could get rid of the me, have to do something part, this would be my path. So the court says, okay, let's get rid of the do part. Let's do the seeing part. Let's do seeing instead of doing and watch what happens. Okay? Now, this is one of my favorite lines. The Holy Spirit, which is your higher self, God, if you please. The court says, the Holy Spirit, the voice for God in you, doesn't need your help.
The infinite intelligence of the universe does not need our help.
Did that say it in the book?
It says it in the book.
God does not need your help.
In what?
Interpreting motivation. So I don't need the God. Hold on, sir.
I'm telling you where she's coming from. Wait, no, tell me. I'm going to interpret her motivation. I'm going to interpret where she's coming from. See, I'm here to help. Go say, no. Spirit doesn't need your interpretation of people's motivations.
But you do need his, hers, it. So let's get this straight. God doesn't need my help, but I need God's help.
Yes.
The universe doesn't need my help. I need the help of the universe. Love doesn't need my help. I need the help of love. So the court says, okay, let's go back to the very beginning. Don't judge what you don't understand. Nobody has got an investment in what you're going through as a reliable witness. If you want to have help and attract help from the universe, you just have to start learning how to interpret what people are going through as a call for help or a call for love, and realize that God doesn't need your help in interpreting nobody's motivation that's around you. Spirit does not need your help in judging anything. See, I found that my body is a communication device, and if I could get my body involved, I remember things better. So I like to move, and I could do chanting. You know, it's like my personal interpretation that God didn't ask for. is that it's too much being on the spiritual path and being dead in the body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People thinking that being spiritual means sitting still, sitting quiet, having no emotional reaction on the outer, and analyzing everything.
Yeah.
And that's spirituality. No, that's a dull ass person. Why would you like to go out with somebody that went? Boring! I don't know about you, I used to pray for exciting people.
I want a really exciting person to come into my life.
Anybody ever affirm that? Like you want some excitement? Come on, fess up. Anybody ever ask for excitement? Anybody?
How exciting are you?
How exciting are
you? I'm a little excited.
Man, I got so much excitement, I don't even know what to do with it, man. So I'm a real fun, joyful, loving person, looking for some joy and some fun in my experience. And I walk into the room to see who I get a chance to play with first, and there's someone like this. I'm going to abort them. I am going straight past them. And they'll be praying for somebody excited. The person recognized that if they want to keep their excitement, they must abort them. Seeing instead of doing. We never got a chance to have a grievance with each other. We never got a chance to have an argument with each other. We never got a chance to see each other the wrong way. We never had to forgive each other because I never introduced myself. And that's how you avoid fractured relationships. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Don't introduce yourself. Stop a minute, take a breath, ask Spirit to draw to you whoever in that room would be best for you, that you both benefit through being with each other. Take a deep breath, pay attention to your intuition, observe, and then watch yourself magnetize somebody to you. It's much easier to connect with somebody who wants to connect with you than somebody you got to convince. And if they can see value and you're valuable, they're just going to want to get to know you, and they're going to be glad to get to know you because they recognize you're valuable, and they'll be smart enough to go, hey, could we get together for lunch? Because you're sane. But then I couldn't recognize when I was talking to a sane man or woman until I learned what sanity sounds like, and that's what the course taught. The course teaches you what a sane mind says, how a sane mind acts, what a sane mind does, and what a sane mind is. So when you study the course, it basically says there are two kinds of people in the world. Totally insane ones. And I mean, he said that. Totally insane ones. And then there are the awakening ones. And even some levels of just actual sanity. And he would say stuff like, and this is what a sane man would do. This is what he would say. This is how it would express itself. And then this is what he calls his ego. And this is what the insane man would do. This is how it acts. This is what it says. It controls. It manipulates. It blames. It projects. It sees itself as different and separate and guilty. And says, you know, that's the insane man. If you think it has no power, it doesn't think anything is happening to it. If anything, it got anything to do with it. It's always somebody else's fault. That's your insane man. Now, it's not a bad man. It's not a guilty man. It's not a sinful man. It's just a crazy man. You're not sinful. I'm not sinful. We just have various degrees of insanity.
Yeah.
And then the course teaches you, well, I know they look good, but they're crazy.
What? You get to the point where the Holy Spirit talks to you like that. You know, this man in a voice. You know, it's like,
I know she looks good, but she's crazy.
What?
I know she looks great, but she's crazy. Why? Well, because she's already jealous, and you just dance with her and then dance with somebody else and she's acting a little bit aback. Don't you think that that's kind of interesting, since this is the very first time you've ever laid eyes on each other and don't dance? But I'm a black man and I like butts, and look at her butt. I mean, they gonna come. She can come to a workshop. We can work this out. Did you see the match? And when you get to the point that your sanity wins out in spite of that, that's how you know you're waking up. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what happens to me now. It is amazing to get to that point where a body can't pull you. Mm-hmm. But you can sure enjoy it when the gates open. Because you know that it would only be open with the perfect person, the same person. Because you took the time to be discerning in the beginning, so for the first time in your life, you really could surrender into a love, because you wouldn't be afraid of getting hurt. So you really see what it feels like to be loved, or to make love, or to laugh, or to play, or to do whatever you do, because you're not afraid of each other.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, you think guilty going to a movie was fun. You ought to try innocent going to a movie. You think guilty going by an outfit was fun. You ought to see what feeling innocent about yourself and your body and going to buy an outfit is like. You know, you ought to see what it's like to be with somebody and you're getting ready to hook up. Have y'all ever hooked up? Okay. I have too. All right. But to have a person, instead of a person going, oh, my body, look at it. Oh, my God. I wish it looked like, you know, I do that. I look at my body and I pass by the mirror sometimes. I get out of the shower and go, how'd you get in here? Who are you? And it be me. And I'm thanking him in the mirror, you know. My ego said, and then my ego goes back like a computer. And then it pulls up my 25-year-old body, and it flashes it before me. Hell, I even got it filmed. And now, after studying the course, when any part of my mind tries to make me feel bad, my mind automatically corrects it, because by the very nature that I was feeling bad, it meant that thought must not be coming from God. Mm-hmm. So my mind goes, oh, unreal thought, oh, get rid of that one. Why? Because it didn't make him feel really loving. It didn't make him feel really good about himself, so it couldn't have come from his spiritual being. It had to come from the part of him that's the crazy mind that doesn't really like him. And so you learn how to tell the difference between the two voices, so you stop listening to the wrong one and manifesting a bunch of crap for yourself. But you have to know what the same voice sounds like. But then you meet somebody, and instead of feeling ashamed, they go, isn't my body beautiful? You don't know how to act. That's what you say if you're in that situation. Go. Because that person is having the honor of being looked at in their body with somebody that's looking at them with eyes of innocence. That's different from a guilty person looking at your body. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It heals your body to have somebody that loves you look at it. Mm-hmm. But I know that might sound strange to you, but that's the way it is in the real world. But if you're guilty about your body and you're guilty about your sexuality, then anything that I'm saying around along those lines are uncomfortable. It doesn't even feel comfortable for me to even talk about it. Well, that's your sexual guilt. That's your guilt around your body. That's your hatred that you have for your own body and everything about it. The only problem with that is that you probably think you are a body. So in hating your body, you're really hating yourself. You hate your body, you hate 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 yourself. Because you think you're a body. If I call your name, you say, hey, okay, well, how would it make you different from everybody else in here? Your body and your name. Mm-hmm. So if you hate the thing you identify with as being you, why are you surprised that you would attract negative things to it? Mm-hmm. I get up and say, whoa! These the best love handles was ever created. Somebody get a good grip on that and work that. Anybody anybody with sexual guilt, they're appalled. I'm never going back to school. He talked about sex too much. And then the whole day, everybody be going, thank you. You know, the angel sing when someone is unhappy leaves.
Right.
So if you would leave out of here today and go, you know, I'm willing to ask for the divine release of anybody and everybody and everything that's not a part of the divine plan for my life right now, and everything and everybody that's not a part of the divine plan of my life right now, now release me.
Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah. That's what you want.
Everything and everybody that's not part of the divine plan in my life right now, you know, then I offer you release. I offer you release. Everybody that's afraid of me, everybody that doesn't understand me, everybody that judges me, I ask for your release, because I know you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. And in the name of my freedom, I choose your release, because I recognize that we will be released together. That's what you do. You say, God, love. You take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
See, that wasn't releasing them in anger and grievance and baggage. I was wishing them the best that life had to offer them. Mm-hmm. I want you to be in the hands of God in Littleton. You can be in the hands of God in Paris. You know what I'm saying? Just somewhere else. Across town. Doesn't it sound sane?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So that shows we're totally capable of understanding sanity. Mm-hmm. We just never freaking hear it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not dumb. We're completely aware beings being fed a bunch of stuff that doesn't make any sense, that's not making anybody happy. Because it's our God is talking it, so we think it's the only thing there is. But now the truth is breaking through, peeking through all kinds of books and TV shows and movies and everything right now. It's like everything, like Eckhart and Oprah. And now, it's like the truth is trying to get to us, because we finally must be given it. Because it wouldn't be coming to you if you hadn't already been given it.
So acknowledge yourself, for the good that's coming in your life.
Because it wouldn't be there if you hadn't already given it, because that's how you receive. But it's going to come back more than you gave it. It's going to come back to you in comparison to a candle to the sun.
Yeah.
Now you know that's a big increase.
Yeah.
From the candle to the sun. That's what the Course says. Whatever the stuff you give out, it's coming back like the sun to a candle. You know, so you might look at it as smiling at a person in the elevator that you wouldn't normally smile at. And it might come back to you in the form of the house you've always dreamed of living in as a form, because happiness will take a form in the physical world, even though happiness is formless. But we're at the level of form, so to step down to form.
You're deep today, baby.
Hey, I'm giving what I want to receive.
Yeah.
I'm giving what I want to receive. I'm giving what I want to receive. I'm being what I want to have. And sometimes it's frightening to people. I've watched people just really avoid me. And I've watched people really approach me. And I'm the same person. So they have to be interpreting their own interpretation. Because I didn't change. So the person that liked me is liking me being the way that I am, with the person that don't. Might not have nothing to do with me, man. So if there's one person that likes you more than the person that don't like you, then the problem ain't your problem. Because the person that's liking you is choosing to see you in a way that gives them joy. The other person has that same option. And we know it's possible because there's a person that likes you. So if you got one person in your life that likes you, you don't have to change to nobody to be liked. And you've already got a witness that that's true. Because there's one person that likes you. Hello!
Hello! Hello!
Hello! Hello! Hello! Hello! Hello! Hello! Hello! Hello! Hello! Hello! Hello! So in case there's nobody that likes you, I like it. So let me be your first person. Whoever you may be out there, I like you.
Yes.
And I'm not going to do anything to hurt you. You tell me what you want, and I know it'll be something loving and peaceful. I support you. So this is your first person. Now, how about that? So you can't even claim you don't have a witness now. Right? So I'd like you to give yourself what you'd like to receive by letting us acknowledge and ourselves to hear this message today. I'm going to do a short announcement, and then I'm going to review the key points that you need to take out into the lab so that you have the, you know, so you'll know. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm going to have you out here on time, but it's a few more, you got a few more times around the rent cycle. With the people in here who feel themselves as having passion within them, would you raise your hand, please? Oh, good. That's great. See, that lets me know I can relax with you all more. Good. But sometimes, you know, I don't want to frighten people. So I like to, like, if it's possible, I like to be around people that's pretty much the same way I am. Then I can pretty much express myself without fear. You know what I mean? Unless the person is afraid of themselves. Then when they see themselves in me, they trip out. But it's really them. But they're in denial about it. Mm-hmm. So the thing that you get the most upset about is the thing you want to do the most. You feel guilty about it. That's why homophobic men tell me a lot.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Can I still get the CD, today, get a copy of it?
I don't do CDs.
You know?
All my classes are on my website. I got all 3 years of classes are on the website.
But I don't have a computer.
Actually, if you can do, you can bring your recorder. Anybody who wants to can record any of my classes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, I'm not a reliable witness, so if I got a personal investment in not doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't do it anymore. It got too much. And one rule that I've made for myself as I've awakened is I only do what I want to do. And the minute something gets to the point that I don't want to do it, it's not easy for me anymore, Floyd, then I just don't do it. And what I found out was that it created less and less things in my life that I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just amazing how much it was a connection between the things I didn't want to do and me. It blew my mind. It's like, oh, the person who's doing what he really don't want to do is me. And so what you do is you put it out there in a way that would be best for you, and then those who can get it that way or do it that way. But when you tell people you can have it freely, then the responsibility is 100% on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I do it. It's not about money with me, so it's not like I'm going to lose some money even though I'm selling stuff on my site because I give it away. People who are sent by God to give and share, they're going to do that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Those who don't, they'll do it another way. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not all about money. It's going to come and help. But I got to give. So I'm telling you, you can get little digital recorders nowadays. They cost almost nothing. And you say you want to hear this over and over again because you heard something that was really valuable. Make the investment in a recorder and bring it to the class and record it and listen to it. And then you'll get a chance to see how important it really is to you to hear it.
Does it make a CD or a tape or it's on the thing?
You can download it to your iPod. You can burn a CD. You can click on it and listen to it right over your computer without even doing anything but clicking on it. If you don't want to download it. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome, baby. I'm glad you want it. Yeah. So we got a food, good food after church. We got like this incredible chef that's got some food in there. There's 5 paper strips. If you want to see more money in your life, call it paper strips,
metal
disc, and I added plastic. That was not all. If you see money as paper, you will start to get the right way of seeing it. And if you see it correctly, it unblocks it. Money is paper. Your mind has already been programmed to believe there is lots of paper. You throw away paper.
Mm-hmm.
Money is paper.
Mm-hmm.
And coins are metal discs. And credit cards are plastic. And you're really being sustained by the love of your Creator.
Wow.
And these are just some of the various forms that seem and symbols that that seems to happen through. So if you really want to have prosperity, you have to stop seeing the effect as the source.
Mm-hmm.
It is not your job that's taking care of you. It's not your brilliance at investing and saving money that's taking care of you. It is not your credit that's providing you with a car.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all symbolic things to show what you're asking for and allowing it to come into your experience.
Mm-hmm.
What created you is the source of everything you have. The same thing that created the cow created the grass for the cow to eat. And if you were created, then everything you need to sustain yourself was provided for you too, just like the cow and the grass. See, we like the cow trying to make the grass.
Yeah,
that's what we are. It's like, I created myself, and let me go out here and take care of myself. I created myself, so I got to take care of me. And I got to manipulate everybody I know in the meantime in order to get them to act out my plan that I made up of what should be happening for me. And you betrayed me whenever you don't live up to the ideal that I set up for you based on what my life was meant to be. You see what I'm saying? When you forget that you've been taken care of by God, by a higher power, then you manipulate those around you. You can't help it. So a person without any faith in anything greater than themselves, even if they don't even mean to, they're going to try to use you. Because that's all they know how to do, is try to get their plan across. And they're certainly going to try to work that plan on the person that they know first. Not the stranger. So next time you come up with your plan, please focus on your goal with such focus that you know that your goal will create the people and the circumstances
yes.
in which to create the result. The goal creates the means.
Cool.
So instead of spending a lot of time, I'm feeling pressure. What's up? Somebody on the coast, everybody listen.
It's
okay, let me do that.
what do we have for the food? She can go, y'all.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing.
Brunch today is
I'd like you to take a quick look at your body.
Yeah.
I said your body. I didn't say that. Oh, that's what you were looking at. That would be great. You get out the shower and go, yeah! I'm going to have a date with myself. I never said no to me. Those bodies are not what you are. Those bodies are not what you are. You have a body, but you're not a body. You have a body. Your body is a means of joining and communication. Your body is a way to join, communicate, remember the truth, to let yourself feel love. You chose to be in a body so that you could experience sensory experience.
Mm-hmm.
So don't waste time feeling guilty about your natural expression of yourself. You know what I'm saying? So every time you allow yourself to feel joy and gratitude and appreciate anything about your physical experience, you're healing yourself and you're healing it. This is not something we need to kind of run away from like it's some kind of a nightmare that we're trying to get away. We just need to see it differently. We need to see it differently. You know, what could be more torture than to constantly want to be somewhere other than where you are?
Mm-hmm.
Or needing to be something than other than who you are. Yeah, it's like, and that was the game I used to be on. The Happy Earl was always just around the bend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Tuesday, the Happy Earl going to be here Tuesday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jesus, well, the Happy Earl going to be here when? It's like somebody waiting for a date that never shows up. You know, that's what it's like. It's like every day. It's always the next person, that next one, that's going to be the one. That's it. The next one. That's it. That next job, that's going to be the job. That's the one. I know it is.
Next house.
That is the torturer mind.
Yeah.
The torturer mind has one rule: seek but do not find. Want it, it is not there. And when you hate yourself, that's all you're interested in. When you fear yourself, that's all the person is interested in is what they can't have. It offers a form of punishment on themselves. And I'm saying, you have been pardoned. You are forgiven. You are free. We're like a prisoner who's been pardoned, sitting in the jail cell with the door wide open and the prison grounds overgrown with weeds. People have been gone so long.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting there in the cell, free me! Free me! Why doesn't anybody come?
I'm
coming! You're free!
Yeah, I'm ready.
It's been a while since I heard that. Come on here, girl! Never coming back. This is happening too soon. I've got at least 6 more years before I can be happy. When you feel joy, you have to move. So here we go. The last three little things I'm going to say before you go after. Give me a couple of minutes, please. And also available for one-on-one sessions. So I can show you how terribly unoriginal your problem is. Now, remember, good advice, don't understand what they don't do. I won't judge what I won't understand.
brother. I appreciate that. Appreciate the love, man. Thank you.
All of you, thank you. Every one of you. I told you, I'm bashful. I'm working on it. And then you all are seeing me work on it and you think I'm already that way. That's great. But you gotta, sometimes you gotta get on your edge. And people won't even know you're on your edge. You know? So if you wanna get edgy with me, try. Really? So one thing I want you to know, if you want to be on my contact list, so I can let you know about things that I'm doing. I'm getting ready. I'm getting a whole web presence going over the next couple of months. It's going to be really great. And I can let you know about the seminar, workshop, whatever. I'm going to have some thoughts I just want to share.
You sending out stuff regularly?
No, not yet.
All right.
No. We're working. It's being worked on even as we speak. That's right. That's right.
Have contact list patience.
All right.
That's right. That's what we're working on here.
I thought people would be glad they put their name on the mailing list and nobody mailed them anything.
I thought that'd be like the best kind. But
you need to unsubscribe.
So anyway, you need to unsubscribe. Well, that, but if you write me and say, I want to unsubscribe before I subscribe. That's really intense. Take me off the list before you put me on it. You're going to have so much love and so much love and new people coming to your life, giving you the opportunity to do the love. It's going to shock you. You have no idea what we created today by joining and enjoying aliveness. The ego mind wants to figure out what to do about your problem. And you don't know that just being the joyful, real, beautiful self that you are in any given moment creates the circumstances that creates the solution to your life.
Yeah.
That if analyzing it worked, you would have already had it solved by now.
Yeah.
So when we come here, we be.
Okay.
We be. So hugs are available. I love hugs.
Next Sunday 11.
I'll be doing 11 o'clock service as well as the 1 o'clock.
Right. And I'll be singing next Sunday 11.
And David's going to be singing, and I don't know if you know it, and David's a minister of this church. He has an incredible singing voice. I always encourage David to sing. I love his singing voice. Yeah, next Sunday.
Brunch downstairs.
And a brunch too.
Wow.
Today. Okay. So those of you that are getting ready to run out somewhere and get something to eat, you might want to take advantage of what's going on downstairs.
Yes.
It'd really be good. How you feel? Okay? You ready to go out into your dream? I'm sweating. Some of the chakra on fire. The boogie chakra on fire. I got an extra chakra, you know. Yeah, so I appreciate y'all. See you next time.
Thank
love you. Love you. Love you.